Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Trevor. The former block off has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome, Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12. Got a good one lined up for you today. We're talking hockey with Kelly Chase in the 11 o'clock hour. Martin will be here at 11 also. And we are also going to talk with Ron Jacober, a beloved broadcaster at Five on Your Side for years, a Blues broadcaster with KMOX, and whose son right now is fighting for his life. We'll have that remarkable story coming up at about 10:30 today. If you'd like to be a part of the program, you can do so right away as I manipulate my Florida folder here. We have Maryville University's listener line at 855-282-8255. We have the winning streak text line, that same number, 855-282-8255. Opening monologue brought to you by the great people at Gateway Motorsports Park. And let's begin with lap one. The Blues, 4 hours, 33 minutes, 8 seconds without trailing. It's one thing to win 10 straight. It's another just to take the lead and never, ever give it up. So many stories. The goalie right now is the one at the top. 12-1-1 for Jordan Binnington. 4 shutouts in 14 games. 8 straight wins. That's a Blues rookie record, and it's third in history. I don't know if he was that tested yesterday. He made a great save on Zach Parise, a real good one at the end of the second period. He simply changed the season. As great as Vladimir Tarasenko has been, the guy stopping the puck changed the fortunes. He really did. And I think it just keeps getting better and better. Hear me out. When he first came up, Jordan Binnington had just the ability and that chip on his shoulder. Now he has that ability, the chip on his shoulder, and the confidence of being the NHL's number one star. Imagine if this is not an aberration. It's not Bo Hart, but rather Kurt Warner. All right, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here. But he really could change the franchise if this is real, if this thing has legs. Let's take a listen.
We're playing discipline and selfless, and it's really showing. You know, we're having a great time playing with each other and for each other, and I think that's important for a team down the stretch here especially.
And I also want to give credit to Jake Allen, who is, you know, he gets one of those shutouts. Comes out and plays great on Saturday. So, and sometimes, as we know with Jake, competition brings out the best in him. Now, he's not going to be the number one goaltender, but you got to play two here down the stretch often, and he's playing well. So that is terrific stuff. All right, left two. Now, the offense is not just a number 91 thing. It's all three. Think about this combo. Braden Schenn was your all-star last year. Ryan O'Reilly is your all-star this year, and Vladimir Tarasenko was your all-star in the three previous years. They're all in the primes of their careers. They all bring a little something different to the equation. And yesterday, they all scored.
In a four-man scrum, stepping away, O'Reilly got it on over! Score! Tarasenko! A power play goal, and it's 1-0. Then back to Pietrangelo, then over to Tarasenko, then on to O'Reilly. O'Reilly scores! Again, some marvelous passing, but this time it's O'Reilly from Tarasenko. Another power play goal, 2-0. Now brought back on by Schenn. Schenn holds, tried to feather one through. Did he do it? No signal of a goal yet.
I think it went
and
in.
Now yes. The signal is made.
Yeah, I think it actually got taken into the net.
They've been really, really good. You know, they work hard, all three of them, and they got good chemistry, and, you know, they work together, and you got a sniper on the line that's scoring right now.
Very soon, the offense will get David Perron back, who, by the way, was your second-best offensive player behind O'Reilly when he got hurt this season. All right, lap three. Let's talk hoops. Billikens win their 17th. They beat up LaSalle, and they did it in Billiken fashion. Free throws, 13-27. Three-pointers, 33%. Field goal percentage, 44%. Now, the schedule gets difficult at Dayton, then at VCU. Can they get to 20 wins? They have seven left. I think they can. Is that enough for an NIT if they won't win the conference tourney and get in the NCAA? I don't know. The one thing you can't question, though, is their toughness. Boy, they just play so hard. They defend. They rebound. They share the basketball. You know what? Although it hasn't gone as exactly as scripted, you know, with those losses right in a row, with all those devastating injuries and losing Cartier, I'm telling you, it would not shock me if they went to Brooklyn and had a great, great weekend of basketball in the conference tournament. So we'll see. I'll tell you what, I know a lot of people are down on them, but it's St. Louis U and you got 17 wins. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. And they played a representative non-conference schedule. Now, you could argue the conference is not as good as it normally is, but 17 wins with a pretty good non-conference, that's not bad at all. All right, lap four. Mizzou is in a bad place. Can't camouflage it. They got beat at Oxford. I have a story about playing there in just a moment. Mizzou is 3-9 in the conference and 12-12 overall. 3-9 in the conference. They host Kentucky on Tuesday, who just smashed Tennessee on Saturday. Then they're at Florida. So they will likely be 3-11 by the end of the week. I do like the Ben Fred column last week about some younger players in the program who will improve and get better. You know, the Picketts, the Watsons, the Smiths. You know, Suggs will help. And then, of course, next year they'll have Drew Smith from Evansville. They got a real nice recruiting class coming in. See, and Tennessee is an example of that veteran team in the SEC who just grew together, had some growing pains when they were freshmen, and now they're, well, they were number one in the country up until Kentucky smashed them. But here's the thing. Here's what you have to be worried about. You can't have a year when your best player is Jordan Geist in the SEC. He is a solid player, and he's had a fine season. But if he is your best player, you are going to be 3-9 in the SEC, and that's what they are. That's just the way it is. I mean, I'd like to have Jordan Geist on my club. I'd like to have him running the point and being a pure point, hit a couple of threes. Seems like a tough guy, a hard worker. But if he is your best player in the SEC, you're going to be 3-9. And Konzo knows that. That's why help is on the way. All right, here's my quick Ole Miss story. Every year at UMSL, we would go to a big Division I school, and we would donate blood and get smashed, and then we'd get a paycheck and come back home. So one year, we played Ole Miss, and this is while I'm interning at Channel 5. And I got back late the next shift that I was supposed to be there, and Jay Randolph, Sr., who's the nicest guy ever, Jay Jr. is a good guy too, it was the only time he was ever mad at me because I came in late and Ole Miss was playing another game that night. And Jay starts, he's, where have you been? Where have you been? I'm sorry, practice was late. I'm really, really apologize. Well, I wanted to bet on Ole Miss, but I wanted to get your thoughts on the game. So I'm sorry, Mr. Randolph. All right, lap five. Random spring training thoughts. Andrew Miller is really one of the good guys. Not that this has anything to do with what his whip is going to be or his ERA this year, how many saves. But he's out there in that practice session for about 5 hours. And when those guys are done, they want to get in their car and go home. So he walks out of the clubhouse, and he walks to those autograph hounds who are there, by the way, every day. I don't want to speak ill of people, but if you're an autograph person, don't you get your one autograph and move on? Do you have to be there every day? It makes you think like they may be selling them, or I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they just want Andrew Miller's autograph every day. But he goes out there, and like a lot of players, what they do is they drive out. That's the gate. And that's the smart thing to do, where you don't have to stop, or maybe you stop for a minute and move on because there's cars behind you. But he walks out there and he personally signs every autograph, and he just could not be any nicer. In addition to being the wittiest Cardinal, John Brebbia drives the most unassuming car. In a lot with Rolls Royces and Lamborghinis, Brebbia drives out of there in an old Honda Pilot every day. Absolutely love it. Alex Reyes is awfully polite and humble. Dr. George Paletta told me the other day, he said it just broke his heart when he performed the Tommy John on Alex, and then when he got hurt again last year. And he felt so bad, because I know how hard the kid worked. I know what a neat kid he is, and it just was terrible. And, boy, once you talk to Alex Reyes, he's just so humble and respectful. You got to be rooting for this kid. And he is probably going to start out of the bullpen, but not a one-inning guy. They're going to give him multiple innings, so when he's ready to start, whether a quarter of the season or the third of the season in, he is ready. Now, Paul Goldschmidt is also one of those humble and respectful guys. And let me just say this. Paul Goldschmidt won't say anything interesting all season. Not that he can't. He's probably a sharp guy. But Martin, Charlie, and I will take one for the team, because he's going to hit 35 with 100 RBIs and be a great teammate. He really will be. He's everywhere you see Matt Carpenter, you will see Paul Goldschmidt. And the way he converses with all the infielders, and just, you know, I mentioned the thing about him shagging balls for Jose Oquendo while Jose was hitting fungos. He's something else. But you won't get anything interesting out of him at all. Lap six. First, let's start with Mel Kiper. He was on this morning on SportsCenter talking about the draft status of Mr. Drew Lock.
I'll probably make fifth. Drew Lock is the one who had the big Senior Bowl week, but if you go back to the final seven games of this past season, 16 touchdown passes, two interceptions, was over 70% in three games, one of which was at Florida when he was at 75%, three touchdowns, no picks. So I think Drew Lock, with that rifle arm, is gaining momentum. Have him at Washington mid-first round.
Yeah, he has him going, I think, was at 15th to Washington.
Yeah.
I had Andy in studio yesterday talking hockey, and he keeps bringing up, hey, Nick Foles is going to be traded too. That's going to be another team that won't draft. Now, Andy, it's happening, okay? It's happening. I don't know how, by the way, let me ask you this, Brian. How does Mel Kiper come out with a mock draft like just 2 weeks ago and not have Locke in the first round, maybe 3 weeks ago, and now he's got him 15?
It's almost like mock drafts are a waste of time.
They are.
I remember Todd McShay said once he doesn't necessarily enjoy doing mock drafts because he knows he's wrong. You can't predict it. It is a waste of time. But every year he said it's the most clicked-upon story he does.
Now, answer this. When Mel Kiper does his mock draft, is that who he believes that team should draft, what he thinks, or is that his prediction of what that team will draft?
Oh, I don't know, actually. Probably who he thinks will, because he just wants to be right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably right. All right. Another thought, just some random stream of consciousness thoughts. I want to say, if you hear accusations about me sabotaging cameras, I want to say right off the bat, I am innocent right now, because day two in Florida, Channel 4's camera broke. Charlie Marlowe's camera broke. Charlie had to shoot with an iPhone. And we were the only ones with a working camera. So a lot of people pointing fingers.
Yeah,
I thought about it, but I didn't do it.
Seems suspicious.
It does. How about the story of actor Jussie Smollett? According to reports, he paid two men to orchestrate an assault on him. This is from CBS News and CNN. The two men are now cooperating fully with law enforcement. This Smollett gentleman told authorities he was attacked by two men yelling out racial and homophobic slurs. He said one attacker put a rope around his neck and poured an unknown chemical substance on him. And everybody just reacted, oh my goodness. He's been an actor on the TV drama called Empire. Smollett told the media that the attackers were yelling, this is MAGA country. But according to reports, none of this happened. Here's my question. What should the charge be for staging a hate crime? Plowsy? If this was all made up by him,
I would certainly, excuse me, think 1 to 3 years, possibly a 5-year prison sentence, depending on, I mean, I'm sure there's, this isn't just a wrinkle, I'm sure there's going to be more coming out about this story, but certainly there needs to be prison time.
Yeah, you just can't do that.
No.
It's insane. All right, NBA All-Star Game. I hate to say it, I know people are going to rip me on the text lines for this, but I do watch it every year. I can't get enough of it. Did you watch it?
I understand the appeal. I did not. Just when you're hitting the 180 plateau, it's tough for me to get involved. But certainly I saw some of the highlights. It's fantastic entertainment if you are a big fan of just nonstop scoring and dunking.
The alley-oop bounce pass from Steph to Giannis. Bradley Beal getting hot when they needed him on Team LeBron. Steph getting that 4-point play when fouled by Clay. LeBron hit some big moments late. I mean, it's much better than the Pro Bowl. It's years better than the NHL All-Star Game. Not quite as good as the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, because in the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, you have Max Scherzer throwing 97.
But it is what it should be, basically, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
Plowsy
criticized, like, the score. You don't want to see defense in the NBA 100%. All-Star Game.
100%. Until the final 5 minutes.
Right. You want to see things like bounce alley-oops from Steph to Giannis. Like, that is awesome.
For me, I like college basketball, that style, so I understand the appeal, certainly, and it is phenomenal. It's hard for me to sit down and watch a game where it's 180 to 145 or 150.
Yeah, but gosh, the skill level. And I tell you what, 100%. It just makes you appreciate Kevin Durant. Oh, my goodness.
He Doesn't was it make you want an NBA team?
Yeah, oh, for sure. He was 6-9 from three. He hit all the big shots down the stretch, had 31. Giannis was going to be the MVP, but gosh, Durant is just... What is his actual height listed at? I think at one time it was like 6'11". Maybe it's like 6'9 now. But nonetheless, I'll stand by my prediction.
6'9", 240.
240?
What do you believe more, the 6'9 or the 240?
No, I don't
right?
believe
the
240.
I don't think he's 240.
No.
That seems heavy for him.
God.
I know muscle weighs more than fat, but 240 seems heavy for a guy like Durant.
But I'll stick by the LeBron, Bird, Dr. J, and Kevin Durant as the best four small forwards of all time. Who could argue with that?
Well, you can't. You can't. I'm trying to think. You can't really complain about that list.
I mean, Rick Barry and Havlicek are really good, but gosh.
Yeah, Durant got me.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of cool, too, the Dirk Nowitzki and Dwayne Wade hitting threes last night. And what a great idea by that commissioner who does everything right, Adam Silver. He just adds a roster spot so those two can play in one final game. I love the story, too, late last week about the NFL courting Adam Silver. I mean, who would you rather have as your commissioner? Would that be like 100-0 Adam Silver over?
And when you're thinking about Dirk, he might be the most underappreciated superstar in any sport. And I mean, you look at his stats and you know the longevity, but you don't really realize how great he was. Or, yeah. I mean, I guess was. He's kind of a shell of himself now. But.
Tough to classify him, by the way, position, because he kind of plays like a small forward, but he's 7 feet.
I think he's a forward. I don't know if you do small forward or a swing
but greatest
man.
European player of all time, Ginobili second.
Isn't it weird, though, that there's all this, like, farewell for Dirk, and not once has he said this is his last year?
He has not really said that.
He has never said he's retiring, and they're treating this like he is.
Boy.
Like, the league is telling him, no, you're done. After this year, go away.
But I do love the relationship him and Luka have. Like,
oh,
that's special. So you might want to keep Dirk on a, you know, whatever he wants just for that kind of player coach.
God, if you're Dirk and you see Luka and they just traded for Porzingis, aren't you thinking, oh, maybe
one? I'll play league minimum.
How many white superstars can you have? That's like the Celtics.
And those are the three
Bird.
Elites.
Yeah. Jeez. All right, Kemal's opens Tuesday. We're doing a little family and friends thing tonight.
Oh, cool. What time should Plowsy and
so
I show
we'll
up for that?
Swing by around
6:30. Yeah, 6:30, 7.
I'll email your reservation.
Okay.
It turned out really cool. I was there on Saturday. The happy hour in the bar, something we never had. Bar area is really going to be awesome. It's modern. It's sharp. All the appetizers during happy hour are going to be half price. So you can get, I believe, a calzone for $9 with our homemade. Those are really strong. So it's really sharp. Unfortunately, it's 19 minutes away from downtown with no traffic as opposed to 90 seconds from Channel 5. So I'm going to have to make some quick jaunts there during the week. So, all right, let's take a short time out. When we come back, the remarkable story of Ron Jacober and his family.